And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Well, we have a fairly unusual situation here tonight in that don't know where the guest is. I talked with the guest, maybe 3 hours ago. And everything was set, we're ready to go, and no guest. Can't get in touch with him. Hope everything's okay. You never know. Richard Linney was to be my guest this evening, and he is a UFO experiencer. He's a UFO investigator as well in the UK, and he has appeared on a number of radio shows both in the UK and here in the USA. Also on television in the UK, and quite an interesting individual with very interesting information. Now, he sent to me a video that was taken of a UFO in the UK, and this UFO in the UK is shooting a beam of light down onto a lady's yard. This was taken at nighttime, and it was taken with a cell phone, a camera and a cell phone. So it's not really the best quality. I am going to share that with those of you who are watching, as we would if our guest were with us, but he's not. There's no way I can ask him questions about this video. And then we will just we'll go to open line. I had not planned on that, but I will be depending upon you to make it happen tonight. We'll go to open line. We'll talk about the things that are on your mind. And if you have a comment or question about any of the shows that we have done at any time, any of the guests that we've had, you just want to comment or question or clarify on any of that, or you've got something on your mind that you've been reading about on the internet, or you've seen some videos about, then certainly we'll talk about that. Again, unscheduled landing here, or an unscheduled, not a landing, it's an unscheduled takeoff, because we can't get into, I don't know where he is. Can't get in touch with him. So let's take a look at that video that Richard Linney sent to me. This is a UFO. Again, this is taken at nighttime with a cell phone. The quality of the video is not so great as a result of that fact, but we can see, I would say we can see a UFO. What we can see is there is at least one ball of light in the air, and we can see a beam of light extending from way up there down onto the ground. So I don't know, I'm assuming that's a laser simply because that beam of light doesn't appear to spread out. It appears to be coherent all the way to the ground, so I'm assuming that's a laser. What I would have liked to have asked him is if, in fact, the ball of light, or I'm sorry, that beam of light, is extending down onto anything special. You can see it's hitting the ground, but you really can't make out much detail about the ground. It appears to be in front of a house, what I would like to know is, is there a pond of water there? Is there anything particularly special, or is that just grass in front of the house? But there's really no way to see it. But it's quite an amazing video, and this apparently has happened fairly recently. And it is in the UK. It is a case that he has investigated, and it's not your average run-of-the-mill UFO video. Most UFO videos that you see, you just see a a light going across the sky, or you see several lights going across the sky. You don't see anything really spectacular. You know, it seems rather almost mundane now these days because there's so many of them. Down in Florida, just a few days ago, St. Petersburg, there was a fleet of UFOs that went across the sky. They were orange at nighttime, and there were 20 to 40 of them that went rapidly across the sky and out into the over the ocean. And so, you know, we see those kinds of things. We see, you know, a ball of light. Sometimes in the daytime, you see actually the structure of some type of what appears to be a vehicle, some type of object. But this one, it's very hard to make out if this is just a ball of light or if it is some kind of structured object, structured vehicle. But whatever it is from up in the air, it is shining a laser down onto the ground. And it lasts for a good amount of time. It's fairly quick. Fairly lengthy in the amount of time that it's up there. But as I said, there's no way for me to ask questions about the video that we're looking at because I cannot get in touch with my guest. But I think perhaps he may have just made contact with us. So let me see. Am I speaking to Richard Lenny?
Yes, you are.
Well, fantastic. We're glad you made it to the show. Richard, I was showing this video that you sent me, but we're going to back up and find out a little bit here before we get to that video and before I ask any questions about it. First of all, what part of the UK are you in? What part of the UK are you in?
I'm sorry, it's very, very faint. I can just hear you.
Okay, well, that's the best I can do, and
okay, that's better.
Yeah, that's, yeah. And we're getting some feedback over here. Okay, what part of the UK are you in?
Okay, I'm in the western part, Weston-super-Mare.
Okay, so
which is near Bristol, and it's on the west coast.
Okay, now this video that you sent me, we'll get back to it, but I do just want to find out where did this happen with this UFO shooting a laser down. Where was that?
Right, okay, that was in Devon, which is down the road from where I live, basically, about an hour's drive.
Okay, and now, do you, before this happened, did you know the person that was the witness to this?
I knew her over the phone.
Okay.
The situation was basically she was seeing a craft, and she was seeing, believe it or not, ETs in her garden, and she wanted to know if she was going crazy or not. So she went to Leeds, which is up north in the UK, mm-hmm. to a UFO conference. And she wanted to basically find out why she was seeing them. And at that conference, there was a chap there who basically had seen me on the Rich Planet TV and said, oh, I know there's a guy who checks out UFOs and stuff. and I can give him a ring for you and see if he would be like, you know, if he'd like to come down and see you. So that's exactly what he did. He got hold of me, and he lived in Weston as well, and we met up at a pub, and he gave me a phone number, and then I made a phone call to her, and we were on the phone for a couple of hours, and I had the chat, and she told me about these things, and then when I arranged to go down to see her, and basically that's it, and took the camcorder, and took my night visions with me as well, because I also hunt UFOs through night visions, which I got from Ed Grimsley, a friend of mine, who I believe you know.
Yes.
And it went from there, basically.
Okay, all right, so let's back up now and find out a little bit about Richard Linney. Richard, when did you get started looking for and looking into UFOs, and how did that happen, and why?
Right, okay. Well, basically, it started back in 1980 when I had a close encounter with a group of UFOs over Uphill, which is a village where I lived, and that was in the UK. And that was around about 6 o'clock in the evening when I was coming home, and I saw some red lights in the sky, and they were getting closer and closer. I had a witness that came around the corner, which was a friend of mine. He also saw them as well, and they went right over the top of us. And they looked as if all the lights were connected, but I couldn't be sure of that. I was just, they went over so sort of fast, but they were definitely not aircraft, and they weren't balloons or anything like that. So that's when I sort of really started getting into it. I mean, before 1980, I was looking at books and stuff, but that was about all, really. And that was my first encounter with UFOs, and it went from there, really. And then I would look out for them, and every now and again, I would see the odd one or two. But I wasn't, like, seeing anything fantastic. And then the internet came along, and of course I saw things on the internet that people were seeing, and then that's when I got hold of Ed Grimsley, because he left his phone number on the internet, and I had a couple of hours chat with him, and he was seeing them through night vision. So I bought myself a pair of Generation 2, and then I really started seeing them. I mean, I was seeing a lot of craft through there, and it all went from there, basically.
Okay, so you have been doing the night vision sky watching now for how long?
Sky watching I've been doing now for, just over 2 years, I'd say.
All right, would you say that the number of UFOs that you have seen as a result of night vision equipment, would you say it's dramatically more UFOs than without night vision?
Yeah, it's definitely a hell of a lot more. I mean, the craft I was seeing through night vision, you couldn't even see with your naked eye. I was putting my night visions down, and they weren't there. They were I was just seeing space and stars, and then when I put them back up, they were there. So I was figuring out that they were basically hiding themselves, cloaking themselves, which was basically the similar sort of thing down at this lady's house in Devon. They seem to have a cloaking device. I mean, sometimes you can see them with the naked eye, but the majority of the time they seem to be hidden. But the digital part of the night vision seems to bring them out. So, and also through digital equipment like cameras and stuff like that as well, they sometimes, you can take a photograph of the sky and then you'll go back over it, and you'll see a dot, and then you magnify it up, and there's a sphere there.
All right, so most of the UFOs that you have seen through the night vision are what? Are they triangles? Are they spheres? Or what? Most of them, what do you see?
Okay, they seem to be mostly be spheres or discs. But I have seen triangles as well. But yes, they tend to mostly be spheres, and they seem to be quite high up. It's hard to say, obviously, through night visions exactly how high up, but I'd say they're in the ionosphere, you know, on the edge of space. And they go over really, really fast. I mean, you see satellites through them, of course, and you can tell how those act, because they just go from hemisphere to hemisphere, and they go sort of fairly slowly. And these ones, they'll curve ball, they'll stop in the sky, and basically they look like stars, but they move really quickly, and they'll go back as well from where they came, which of course satellites can't do. And then I get the bigger ones, they're discs, like you can tell they're proper flying saucers, and they're very big, and they usually fly in like a triangle. And they go over my house very, very fast. And I've seen those a few times in one night. And I also, unfortunately, I wasn't able to record it, but I saw this one sphere which was moving upwards very slowly. I think it was in space because it was very far away. And then it stopped. And then it just looked like it was a star. So I kept watching it because I didn't want to miss it, because obviously it's a big sky up there. And I kept observing. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. This is going back in winter time. And then all of a sudden there was like a beam of light that came out of it very slowly. That went out from where I was. It shot out quite a few feet. And then the beam of light went back into the sphere. The sphere seemed to go into two and then back into one. This happened a couple of times. And then the whole thing just shot off so quick. I've never seen anything move so fast.
And when?
So I can only assume it must have gone into either light speed or something like that, but it had gone really, really fast.
And when did this happen?
That was it. It was gone.
When did this happen?
Okay, this particular craft that I saw in the winter of 2010.
Okay, now you said it
yes.
shot a beam out, a beam of light, very slowly.
That's right. When it was firing its light out, when it was shooting out what seemed to be a beam, it was coming out very, very slowly. That's correct. I mean, it was really slowly. In fact, I was thinking, what's going on here? And then that stopped, and the beam went back in to the craft. And then, as I said, it sort of went into two and then back into one. But then the little sphere then just shot off so quick. There was a flash after it, but that happened about 10 seconds later. And I was like stunned. I just thought, what have I just seen? And I went in and the next day I checked on the internet. And the only thing I can think of is from what Bob Lazar was saying about these craft that he found at S4. That they do seem to do this. They have some sort of device that moves particles in front.
Okay, we have to take a break. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And my guest this evening, Richard Lenny. And Richard, as we went away for break, we were talking about that most of these UFOs that you see through night vision are spherical, or they are oblong, circular. Sometimes you see triangular. Have you seen anything else? Any other shapes?
I've seen what I call like a plasma ball, which is about 3 o'clock in the morning. It seems to come across, and it's quite large and quite low. But I see that with the naked eye. I don't need night visions with that. But I have seen like a sort of tube. I'd say like a cigar shape, which spins around. That's really high up in the sky. I need night visions to see that. But yeah, the majority of them are pretty much spheres. I think a lot of them also change shape as well. They what they call like shapeshifters. They can make all sorts of different shapes, but I think what I'm seeing majority of the time is craft that's out in space or out in the ionosphere, and I think they need to be round or that sort of shape, spherical, to be able to move. So the majority of the times they are actually round, small or large, but round.
Ed Grimsley, as you noted, he is a friend of mine, and he's been on the show a number of times. I've met him and know him personally. And Ed has told us about seeing battles take place up there between UFOs, where a beam of light shoots out of one, hits another, and it blows up and so forth. And he says he's got video of it, and I have no reason to doubt that. But he also says that he was approached, and it was made very clear to him that he was not to show those. Have you seen any battles out there?
Right, well, first of all, Ed's a friend of mine as well. He came over, actually, and saved me for a couple of weeks going back last year. And he brought his night visions over, which were better and more powerful than ones I use. But I've seen starts of battles where one are chasing the other, basically dogfighting. I've seen that. I haven't actually seen them fire a laser out, though. And the only lasers I've seen, apart from that one craft that I assume was going into light speed, was the lasers down in Devon. But Ed told me that he has got this video, and he was approached by, we can only assume, was the men in black, but some people in suits basically saying under no circumstances was he to show the video at a show that he was doing at a conference. So, but he says he's kept it at home, and he's kept it safe. But yeah, he does have this video, apparently. I've not seen it, but we can only assume that he has got it. And I've yet to see a proper battle, but I'm still waiting.
Okay, let's talk about this video that you sent me, which is shot at nighttime. And it shows a ball of light in the air with a beam of light coming to the ground. So let's talk about this. Now, who shot this video?
Right, okay. Well, it basically, as I said, this lady said she saw these craft come down most nights into her garden. She's got a big property. She's got 21 acres of land, so she has a lot of space around her. And I can only assume that means they can work without worry of being interrupted the majority of the time. But 6th of November 2010, she started seeing all this stuff. And so this is when I sort of came down to investigate. And it was about 11:30, 11:45. We were at the front of the property because she said she could see stuff coming down. And I grabbed my night visions. That was the first thing that I did. And she goes, there they are. They're over there by the trees. So I put my night visions up and couldn't see anything. Nothing there at all. Absolutely nothing. So I was getting a bit worried. And I was thinking, well, she's seeing this stuff, but I'm not. And I wasn't convinced at the time. And then I wasn't on infrared, I must admit. I was just on the normal digital part of the night visions because the batteries were getting low and it would have knocked the power off. So I then got the camcorder, which I also took down, and put it through the camcorder and went to infrared on a night shot, and wham, there they were. And if you watch the video from the beginning, you'll see there's a lot of fumbling about, and that's it going to night shot, basically. And then she takes the camcorder from me because she can see where it is. Of course, I can't. I can't see anything at all. So she starts recording it, and you can hear a voice on it. And she says, do you want me to keep recording? And I said, yes, please. And I told her there's enough tape in there and so on and so forth. And then I have a look through it as well on the screen, and it is very bizarre. They're just firing these lasers down into a property. And as you can see from the video, it's quite high up above the tree line. And there's like a ball of light that's going around it. And I can only assume that's the craft, or the craft's above the light, and you can't see it because it's cloaked. But you can see everything else. You can see the beam and everything. And it's just hopping, you know, bobbing around in her garden, basically, and I would say about a 45 degree angle.
Okay, so you could not see this craft, and you could not see the beam of light with the naked eye, is that right?
That's right. I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but if that was my house and I was letting my dog out for a walk at that sort of time at night, I'd be looking across there and I would see absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. You wouldn't even have a clue that this was going on at all unless you had this lady here to point you in the right direction. Very, very bizarre. I've never, ever seen anything like it before. And unless there was somebody, you know, high up there in the trees with a laser pen, but as you can see, that isn't the case. They made no noise. There was nothing to tell you that there was anything there. But in the morning, I will state this. In the morning, when I went across there to look at the garden part where the lasers were firing down, there were holes, beautifully, beautifully made, going down, I'd say, roughly about 5 inches on a 45-degree angle. And there was little bits of mud up above the hole. And these holes were dotted all over a garden. And I'm absolutely convinced that these lasers were making those holes, because they weren't there before when I did a little recce during the daytime walking around. A reconnaissance of the ground, and there was no holes there at all. These were done overnight, and they absolutely were beautifully they were machined. The mud was beautifully smooth and round. There was nothing could have made that, and very bizarre indeed. So it can only have been they're taking particles out of the soil, or anything I can assume.
All right, so. Let me make sure that I understand. When you looked with the naked eye, you could see nothing. You brought the camcorder up. Well, you brought night vision up. You could see nothing. You brought the camcorder up. You could see nothing. And then you switched it on to infrared, and there it was on the camcorder, right?
That's correct, yeah. It was the infrared part that you could see it through, yeah.
So I had originally thought that this was shot with a telephone, because you had mentioned something about the pictures were on your son's phone or something, and you were sending. So I thought it was shot with a telephone. This is shot with a camcorder at nighttime, and with the infrared on. And so
I have to explain, Kevin, what happened was it was recorded by camcorder. It was a Sony camcorder. But then what I had to do was put it through my television, and then we recorded it on the cell phone.
Okay, I understand. You sort of transferred it over to the cell phone.
That's correct, yeah. So that's right.
Okay. But she could see these things with her naked eye, right?
Yeah, that's right. She can see everything. It's amazing. And we can only assume that she can, because she pointed us in the right direction for these lasers. And it was bizarre. And in fact, you can actually hear her on the tape saying, oh, they've started. They've come down. They're coming down now. Could you hear that, Kevin?
Yeah. Now, what our audience is seeing, I've taken the audio out of it, but... because that would just interfere with you and I talking, you and me talking. So the audience isn't getting to hear that. But yes, I heard her talking. But I think it's very amazing and even anomalous that she can see in the infrared range.
Yeah, that's right. And I said it all started for her on the 6th of November, 2010, when she was looking out the window at, it was for fireworks, because 5th of November, bonfire night, and it happened to be a Saturday the 6th, and there was obviously a lot of parties going on around her area, and she was watching them, and this is when she started seeing these craft.
All right, if you had not had the infrared camera, you would have left there with the, you would have been under the opinion, I assume, that she was a little off-center because she was claiming to see things that neither you nor night vision could see. But when you switched to infrared, you could see.
Yes. There was one other thing that she showed me, though, which I will explain, which is rather bizarre. I don't know how you're going to take this, but I was sitting down in the living room she was opposite me, and she said about these spheres that we have above our head. Every one of us has three, and they're carried with us throughout our lives, and she assumes, she doesn't know obviously everything, but she assumes they record everything that we do, and she can see them, and she asked me, would I like to see them? And I said, well, yes, of course I would. And so she took a photograph of me sat in her settee in her living room with her cell phone, and there it was. There was this sphere above my head. She said the other two are up in the corner of the room, because when you sit down, they move away from you a little bit, but when you get out, they all come back like a string of pearls above your head. And it was very bizarre. And I said to her, can you take another one? I got up and stood by her settee. She took another one, and they were still above my head. I went over to the other side of the room. She took another one, and they'd followed me. She then also said, look, Richard, look closely at your sphere. And she blew it up like you can on the cell phone. She made it a lot bigger. And in the sphere, there was like a membrane. It was like a twig that was bent off to the left angle, and it was very bizarre. It was all sort of like filled in with different things, and I thought to myself, what am I seeing here? And she goes, animals have one, humans have three, and it gets bizarrer, Kevin. She said to me, if you lie, one of your spheres goes dark. Would you like to see that? I said, yes, please. So she said, just think of something bad. Will I take the photograph? So she told me not to use a laser pen out in her garden. And I thought to myself, when she goes to bed, I'm going to go out into a garden, I'm going to use the laser pen. She took the photograph, and the sphere went very dark. Now, I have these photographs on the phone. I couldn't send them to you because I've got other stuff as well, but I do have these photographs, and I also have a photograph of a horse which has one sphere on it. But when I came back home to where I live, I got my partner to take photographs of me, and I had no spheres above my head at all. I think it's where she lives. She lives in an area where we have ley lines. I don't know if you've heard of those.
Oh, yes.
The Michael and Mary ley lines. It's supposed to be very powerful and help to show a lot of stuff up. And I think it was these ley lines that were helping as well.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We will be back right after this, folks. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Richard Linney. Richard, the stuff you were telling us just before we went to break, I have to tell you, that's something I have not heard before. And I've talked with people about orbs, and I've got, there are people who are members here at the Kevin Smith Show who have sent me pictures. They've posted those pictures in their photo album in the members' community of orbs just everywhere, in their house and out in the yard and so forth. But this thing about all of us have three orbs is something that I've not heard before. You were telling us you think it's the location where this lady lives because there are ley lines all over the place there.
That's right, yes. I got a friend who is a map maker. He lives up in the Midlands. And I got him to check it out for me. And he says there's a ley line, a real big one, that goes straight through her house, right through her property, and that, funnily enough, carries on right up to Stonehenge, which you probably know about with the stones and everything, which I took Ed Grimsley to, funnily enough, and we had a great day there. But yeah, there is a ley line that goes straight through her house, and I think it's that ley line that helps the camera to see these spheres. But the lady will see these wherever she goes. She doesn't have to be in a property. That's the thing that I don't understand. She can come to my house. She even saw craft and ETs when she was up in Leeds, which is, 300 miles away from where she lives. So, but yeah, when I was down at her property, and I took them some photographs, because I took a photograph of her, and I saw her sphere above her head, and obviously she took a photo of me and she saw mine,
Okay, so but when you took pictures of her...
It's something to do with the energy from the ley lines is showing basically these spheres up, and the camera's picking them up.
When you took pictures of her and you saw the sphere or the orb above her, was that with your camera?
Right, okay. I didn't have a cell phone, so what happened was she gave me her phone and I took it with her phone. And then it came out. It's one of those phones where you can see the image straight away.
And, I wonder if you were to use a different camera, if you would see that. I'm wondering if this might be something peculiar to this camera.
Yeah, that's a possibility, I suppose. She had a friend round... he had his own camera and completely different camera phone, and it came out on his as well.
Well, there you go. Okay. You were there, and the camera, whenever the UFO was shooting the laser down into the ground, you were there, and originally the camera is in your hands. So how long did it take? I mean, how long was this UFO up there with a laser?
Right, well, she says that they are up there usually for an hour or so. We took video footage. I think the whole footage in total lasts about 12 minutes. But, she says they're up. She said they'll be up here for an hour or so. Is that enough, or do you want me to continue filming? Because she ended up holding the camera because she could see them, you see. So it was easier for her. But, I've got about 12 minutes of footage in total.
Were you amazed, or were you, I mean, did this kind of blow you away, or was this just sort of like, oh, well, that's curious? I mean, what was your response to this?
No, it blew me. I mean, obviously I had to keep calm, but Kevin, this blew me away, because I must admit, up until that point, I was very skeptical about her. I wasn't sure. I honestly didn't think I was going to see anything, because in the early evening she was saying, oh, they're starting to come down now. I can see lights in the sky. I can see craft coming down. And I was getting my night visions out, and I couldn't see anything. I mean, it was a pretty dull night. There was cloud base. And that's another thing I must point out. When these lasers were coming down, there wasn't a clear sky. There was cloud everywhere. In fact, it had been raining. And the next day, when I saw these holes in the ground, I put my foot over one of them, and water shot out of the hole. So they were filling up with water. But, it was very, very bizarre. And also, which I haven't told you about, there was a square on her gravel driveway where it looked like there'd been a car. You know when it's been raining and a car's been staying there all night, and then the car drives off, and of course you can see the dry patch?
Yeah.
Well, she had two of these on her front porch. She's got a big gravel driveway. She's got a big, as I said, she's got a big house and a big entrance. And you can see where the rain couldn't basically hit the ground. So there'd been something there, and she told me there had been a craft there that had landed in the front of her property. And that you could see where it was all damp around it. There was this massive, great, big sort of square where something had been all night, and of course the ground was dry in the morning, but the rest of the place was all damp where it had been raining, and of course it hadn't hit that particular spot, so that was bizarre as well.
Well, was this dry patch the size of a car, or was it larger?
I would say it was size of, it was larger. I would say it was as if a big coach had been parked there. So when I say square, I suppose I mean more... oblong, you know.
Mm-hmm. This is...
That was very bizarre also.
Yeah, this is has to be one of the most bizarre accounts that I've ever seen, but I'm looking at the video of it, and but hearing you talk about how it all happened, it is very bizarre. And so what do you make of it? Are these UFOs, or are they some type of living entities, or what are they?
Yeah, that's a very good question, actually, because I don't really know. She doesn't really know. She knows she sees she sees triangle craft go across as well. Mm-hmm. And her friend who comes around every now and again to do shopping for her and stuff and everything, he sees stuff during the day. I mean, during the middle of the day. And he doesn't have the same ability that this lady has. He has to, you know, use his camera and that to get a lot of stuff. But he says he actually sees craft fly over and observe the property and then fly off again. So I can only assume that the place must be in some sort of either some sort of vortex or where they're coming through. You know, she's in a place down in Devon where these things are seen. But it is, the whole thing is very, very bizarre. But she says she sees aliens, ETs, whatever you'd like to call them, in her garden. I can describe them for you if you like.
Yes, but first, before we do that, let me ask this question. Is there a military base anywhere near this place?
Good question, Kevin. Yes, there is. About 5 miles away. Because in the morning, after this, a huge, great big aeroplane further really low, like a Hercules, really low.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, is that military base, is it an Air Force base, or is it Army? What is it?
Okay, it's Army. It's an Army base.
Okay, so, I mean, this would be a little bit more suspect if that were an air base. But the fact that it's an Army base kind of takes some of the suspicion off the military for doing this. Have you checked into, or do you have any contacts where you could check into any possible black project stuff going on at the military base that would maybe be related to this?
I had a quick check around, and I couldn't see anything that could possibly be, but I do know there has been a gentleman who's been trying to get her out of the property for the last 18 months. And he's a nasty character, and he keeps coming around, and to cut a long story short, I think he stayed on the property for a while, renting part of the building as a lodger, and then he left, and she didn't want him anymore, and he keeps coming back every now and again and hassling her, I think she got to the stage where she wanted to sell up. You wanted to get away, so I don't know whether this guy is working for the government or what, but it sounds like there's something going on, definitely.
Okay, we have to step away for a break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you, and absolutely delighted to have you. You also need to know that you have my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that has kept you away from the first hour. And we're delighted that you're here now. And we have been talking with Richard Linney. Apparently some connection problems at the beginning. And we have UFO investigator, he is a UFO experiencer, and he's been telling us a really astounding account of a UFO incident in England. He is from the UK, and he is the person responsible for the video that I've been showing for those of you who are watching our TV channel. We do have Richard Linney back on the line with us, and Richard, we in this second hour, we want to open the telephone lines in just a moment so that the audience can join us and ask their questions as well. Now, folks, I've asked as many questions as I can think of, but, you know, for those who don't know this, let me give you a news flash. I'm not God. So I can't think of everything to ask, and that's why we open up the telephone lines. But I do have one more question that I want to ask you, and we'll do that, and then we'll open the phone lines. You started to tell us her description of the extraterrestrials that she has seen in her garden. And I would say, if she can see them and nobody else can see them, normally I would say, yeah, right. But she could see these UFOs that you could not see, that your night vision could not see, that your camera could not see, until you flipped it over to infrared, and then it picked them up, and she could see it. So I would have to say, if she sees extraterrestrials in her garden, perhaps she is being just as accurate about that. So how does she describe them, Richard?
Okay, she describes them as 7 feet tall, human-like, but they have some sort of suit on, and they have a device on their left arm, which she said looks like a small laser device. They wear not sunglasses, but like a shield around their eyes, so she can't really see their eyes. But she says they look very humanoid, very tall, and they seem to walk around her garden. They do experiments. They pick things up. One of them had a triangle device, which they put into a bush, and black smoke was coming out of it, and she was worried that the bush was going to catch fire, but it didn't. What can I say, you know? these things are walking around her garden, and she'll be doing the washing up, and they'll be sort of there under windowsill by her property. She doesn't see them all the time, but she does see them. And I will state this, Kevin, she did say this to me. They always seem to do the same thing. Now, they repeat themselves. These little experiments they do, they seem to do it again and again and again. They seem to walk around in the same sort of manner, doing the same sort of chores. So it's very bizarre.
Okay, so there are a few conclusions. By the way, folks, the telephone lines are open now, 623-444-5889, and the flash message line is open for those of you who are not in the USA or you're not in Canada. If you're somewhere else, you can either call us or use the flash message. USA and Canada, please use the telephone, 623-444-5889. There are a couple of things that we can conclude here. One, this is not holographic because it left holes in the ground. So it left forensic evidence of its presence. Something, we don't know what, shielded the ground from rain in a large rectangle area. So again, forensic evidence, physical evidence. It's not a holograph. It is something physical. It is something real, but it's operating in the infrared range where you and I and most other people on this planet can't see it unaided. We have to have a device to help us see into the infrared range. All right, let's go to the telephone and caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hi, Brent.
Hi, Richard. I'm going to pose these as ideas, possibilities.
Okay.
The laser you saw that came out slowly could have been a controlled plasma field that was controlled by the laser, so it would go out to a distance or at a certain speed. That's one possibility I've thought of.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that she can see these things but you can makes me wonder if the energies from the ley line that go through her property may be sensitizing her cumulative effect so that she can see it off her property as well. And I'll take your response off the line.
Okay, Brent, thanks. So what do you think about that, Richard?
I think that's very good, yeah. I mean, that is a possibility. I assume because of the ley lines, that's why she was seeing all this, but then obviously she was seeing stuff away from her property. But yeah, it's a possibility. There is one thing, though, which puzzled me about this. She's been living in the property since 1986. So why is it she's only started seeing this since 2010, 6th of November? That's the bizarre part.
Well, in light of what Brent was suggesting, if it were the ley lines that are sensitizing her, maybe it just took a while for the ley lines to have that effect on her.
Yeah, okay. That's a possibility, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if that is what's causing her to be able to see it, I don't know that it is. But it is possible, I would think, that if it's the ley lines that have sensitized her and made her able to see into the infrared range, if that's what caused it, then possibly it just took a number of years for it to finally get there. Maybe it was a very slow process.
Yeah, I mean, we're all different. Obviously, we're all made differently, and to certain respects, and it's a possibility. She was wondering whether, because she takes sleeping tablets, whether over the years that's done something as well. I mean, there's the numerous things it could be, but I am absolutely convinced that the ley lines is something to do with it, because it seems to be the key to be able to see these spheres above our heads. But then she's out on the motorway, and she said to me, it was quite funny, she said to me, when I'm stuck in the motorway, I count how many people are in the cars. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, oh, well, because when you're in your car, the spheres aren't touching your head. They're about 2 feet above your head. So she said, when you're in the car, the spheres are actually outside the car. I'm bobbing up and down on the roof. So she said, I can count how many people are in the car by how many spheres are on top of the roof of the cars. So it was quite bizarre.
Yeah. Okay, now I have a flash message from Dave in the UK, and Dave says, you mentioned that Stonehenge is not far away. Do you think it may be related to this?
I'm sorry, Kevin, could you repeat that again?
Yeah, he says that you mentioned that Stonehenge is not far from her property. Do you think it may be related in some way to all of this?
Yeah, that's a good point, because as I said earlier, the ley line, I mean, it's a real big one apparently, goes right through her property, and yeah, it does end up at Stonehenge. So, this could be something to do with it. The whole thing could be a key to, to the energy field, and hence the reason why she's now seeing this stuff. Yeah, that is a good possibility.
Is there only one ley line running through Stonehenge?
I know they're called the Michael Mary lines, and apparently when they cross, they give out extra energy, and they cross right by, I believe, Stonehenge.
Okay.
So,
what I'm wondering about this, okay, so you have two lines that cross right about at Stonehenge, right?
That's right, yeah. I've done a bit of homework on this, and yeah, that's right. We have a big ley line that goes straight through a property that goes to Stonehenge, and then there is apparently another one that crosses right by it, and it's called the Michael and Mary lines.
Okay, now, they, I would assume, do not run in a perfectly straight line, is that correct?
I always assumed they did, but yes, that's correct. They do tend to veer off a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's what I'm wondering. If Stonehenge is some way related to this, then what we've got is a cross where we have, I don't know which directions the lines are running, but we'll say north and south and east and west. So then from the center of where it crosses, from the center of the intersection, we have a ley line running north, one running south, one east, one west. And I'm wondering, now you said one of these runs right through her house. Okay. I wonder if you take another one of those, if you go to that intersection of ley lines and then go north instead of west, or go east, or go south, and follow the line that direction, I wonder if there is similar phenomena happening down the ley line away from that intersection in every direction.
Right. That's a good question. And that's what I'm going to be doing next. I'm going to get a map, and I'm going to go down to where these ley lines are and where they cross, and I'm going to see if I get anything at all through the camcorders. I'm going to be doing this in the future.
I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy by the name of Sesh Hiri, but he is he's written a book called The Handprint of Atlas that for anybody interested in ley lines, and folks, if you're listening and you have an interest in ley lines, you need to get your hands on that book. It is called The Handprint of Atlas, written by Sesh Hiri. And it is, I would say, at least a master's level trip through ley lines and everything you ever wanted to know and more about ley lines. It is really, really a masterful work. But he might have something in there that would be helpful to you as you do your research on this. Some of you
I'll have to check into that.
Yeah. Now, some of you folks have read that book, and you know, this is an interesting turn here, because we've got not only is it a strange phenomena, if this were something you could see with your naked eye, this would be strange. But this goes way over into weird, because you can't see it with the naked eye. Night vision can't see it. A video camera doesn't see it until you flip on the infrared switch, and then it sees it. But here we have a woman who can see it. Nobody else can, but she can. And the camera verifies that she was seeing what she said she saw. So this is way over into the weird area. Folks, the telephone number is 623-444-5889, and we're talking with Richard Linney. If you have a question that you would like to ask about all of this, or if you have a comment, give us a call. Now, if you don't call, I will turn off the phones, and Richard and I will just keep talking. I have to keep looking over here at this phone, so it's a bother to me unless you're calling. And but if you don't, then I'll just turn it off, and Richard and I will continue talking. And I warn you, once I turn it off, I won't turn it back on. 623-444-5889. And let's go to the telephone and caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where were you calling? Okay. Okay. I don't know why I pushed the button. I answered the phone and you're gone. 623-444-5889. So Richard, this certainly qualifies as way over in the weird area. Have you run into anything else in your UFO research that's anywhere near this, anything like this?
I got to admit, no, I haven't, which is why I was really excited, apprehensive when I went down there. I was really hoping I was going to see something. And towards the end of that night, I certainly did. and I was blown away by it. And the next day, when I was checking out her property and I saw these holes that were scattered all over her property, I also found some other holes, which I haven't told you about, but it's obviously where something had landed. How can I explain this? They're absolutely beautifully made, like they're machined. There's four holes in a square. I would say the gap between each hole was about 6 inches. And then you had them again over the other side of the field, making a real big long oblong shape. I don't know how many meters across it was. It was huge. But in between these four holes, there was another hole which was underneath the ground. And you could see it about 4 inches down. It was like a bolt that was going through. I mean, there was nothing that could have made that. It was very bizarre. But it obviously looked like there was some sort of feet there that had landed. And, and it was very bizarre.
All right. All right, let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Tony from Norman.
Hello, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for being a guest tonight. I have one question. Have you ever gotten with her to try and get any pictures of these ETs, these 7-foot creatures?
I did, that's correct. Yeah, I was really wanting one of those. Unfortunately, the night that I was down there, there was craft around, but she didn't see any ETs at all. She says she sees them a couple of times a week, and they seem to do the same things all the time. But unfortunately, the time that I was there, they weren't there. She did tell me a little story about a strange creature that she said was in her property one night, and it was like a squid-like creature, and it was leaving a load of sucker marks everywhere over a beautiful furniture. And she was cleaning, she got rid of it through the sliding doors, and then cleaned it all up. But she left one of these little sucker marks, and I could see it, and she showed it to me, and it was like a big thumbprint, but had like a load of lines going down it, just in one sort of angle. And she said that's the DNA, she said, of one of these creatures. But they're normally like humanoid, but this particular one she saw was more sort of like a squid-like thing. But we can only assume she did see it.
Sounds like my sister.
Very bizarre. No photos of
it. Could have been my sister. Thank you, Richard. I hope someday you do get a picture of those entities. That would be really interesting to see.
Oh, don't worry. I'm going back down there again, and I'm going to be taking my camera. I'm going to be taking everything.
Great to have you on, Kevin. Great show again.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
623-444-5889. And let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi, Mr. Lenny. Mr. Lenny. My question to you, those holes that were in the garden, how far away were those from where she was filming with the camcorder?
Okay, well, the first thing I did was, obviously, after we'd gone in, and I assumed the lasers had finished, I went over there, and I couldn't see an awful lot because it was dark. But in the morning, I went back to the same point, and there was these holes in the ground, and they were, there was quite a few of them. I would say the gaps between each holes were probably about several feet, but each one of these holes, as I said, were beautifully made. They were about a 45-degree angle, went down about 5 inches. I mean, that's obviously a rough estimate, but that was roughly what they were. And they had little tiny bits of mud around the edge, where obviously when they were taking out the particles of the mud, it went, you know, made a little sort of like spludge mark. Each one looked absolutely beautiful. I mean, but yeah, they were all over a garden.
How far away is the garden from where she was filming when she filmed the laser?
Okay, let's see now. Yeah, it's a big property. It was, I would say, about 50 feet.
So actually, you were pretty close to this this laser that you could not view. At the time, you were pretty close to it. That it could have caused you harm if it intentionally wanted to.
Well, let me tell you this. I don't know if Kevin heard it on the video, but at the very beginning, I say to her, "Oh, I'm going to go over and have a look. I wanted to get closer. I mean, I didn't care. I just wanted to get near to these lasers." And she grabbed me by the arm and pulled me back. And said, "No, Richard, don't go over there. Stay with me."
Mm-hmm.
She was obviously very concerned for me, which is understandable. I was her guest, and she didn't want me to go over there in case anything happened to me. But I was all for wanting to get closer to the thing, but she pulled me back.
Mm-hmm. And did she see these orbs before 2010? Or, I mean, that, you know, above the people? Or did she have this ability before 2010?
No, she did not. Very good question. No, she didn't. And in fact, she didn't believe in UFOs. She thought the whole thing was a load of rubbish. She didn't intend. She's got absolutely no interest at all in any of it. But from the 6th of November 2010, when this has all started, she, because to begin with, she thought she was going crazy. I mean, she went to the doctors. She obviously, you know, told the doctor she was seeing stuff. They gave her something, I don't know, and they said, no, don't worry about it. You're probably just seeing, imagining stuff. And this is when she was crying for help. She was literally crying for help, and went to the Leeds Expo Politics, which is a three-day course, UFO conference up in Leeds. She got on the train all by herself, went all the way up there, basically wanting questions answered.
That's interesting. And this gentleman that was staying with her, that started to harass her, do you know anything more about this, or?
Yeah, his name is Louis, and he's a little Peruvian guy. He's not English, and he helps her with shopping and stuff, because this lady, she's in her late 60s. And, he helps her around the house, does the cleaning, you know, and then stuff like that comes in most days. And that's why he sees the stuff as well.
Well, that's interesting. Well, thank you, Mr. Lenny, for being a guest, and thank you, Kevin, for taking my call.
All right.
Okay,
and we have to step away for a break. We'll be back. A caller on hold, so let's go to the telephone. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
Good evening, and good evening, Mr. Lenny. Thank you for being a guest on the Kevin Smith Show, and I would like to ask a question about this this man who is still, has some sort of a relationship with your neighbor, with this lady. Did I understand you right earlier, or maybe I was mishearing you, that he had been somehow trying to induce her to sell her property, or had he been harassing her to the point that she felt like selling her property? Did I hear that right, or was I mishearing you?
Yeah, what you heard there was there's a gentleman that she had boarding on the end of the property, because it's a big property. He was a lodger and was staying there, I believe, for about 8 months. This is nothing to do with the Peruvian guy, the little guy. This is just a completely different guy altogether. And he probably was seeing stuff as well and causing a bit of trouble. She wouldn't tell me the whole story, but he moved on anyway. She got rid of him, and he kept coming back and hassling her. When I say hassling her, I mean she'd be looking out for these UFOs, and she'd see him in the garden. And she'd call the police, and they'd get him off the property, but he kept coming back and hassling her, and in the end she put the property on the market, and she's trying to sell it. And now she's taken it off the property, she's taken the property off the market now, she's not selling it, but that's what I meant by that. This other little guy that helps her, and also sees craft, that's a little friend of hers that she's known for, I believe, about 20 years.
Oh,
so, and he lives on the end again of the property and comes in and helps her every day with shopping and stuff.
Very good. That's obviously two different guys then. My concern would be that if she's sitting on maybe a nodal point, you know, that would be an intersection of a couple of ley lines where the energy would be particularly magnified, I can imagine that there are forces out there that would love to get hold of her property, and I'm glad she's holding on to it, because I doubt that she would use it for any kind of negative purpose. I'm glad that there's just a decent human being holding on to the land.
Yeah.
I'm relieved to hear that. And thank you again. Thank you again, Richard, for being a part of this program.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you for calling in.
Okay. The telephone line is open, and the number is 623-444-5889. A most amazing UFO incident. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, Richard, and I don't get bored or burned out when we're talking about anything that's anomalous. And that includes UFOs, but it includes a lot of other things. It includes Bigfoot. It includes ghosts, anomalous things on other planets that look like the ruins of cities. Anything anomalous. I don't get burned out on it. But I have to say again, I don't hear too many things that I can say, well, I've never heard that before. But this is one of them. It's just amazing. All right, to the telephone caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi, John.
Hi, and hi to Richard.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Good. I've only got one thought, and that is, when Richard was talking about the physical evidence, like the holes and that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
Right away my mind went to, well, did the 7-foot creatures that this woman saw leave any marks on the ground?
Well, they do, as I said earlier, they do experiments in a garden, they seem to burn leaves and grass and stuff. But yes, there was, I didn't say this earlier, but there was these acorns that I found, and they almost seemed to be like they'd been laser cut in half, beautifully, just literally cut completely in half. And I took one home with me, and I tried to cut one with a knife, a very sharp knife, and you can do it, but you couldn't get it to the same level as this, and it almost, they have like a scorching mark on them, as if something very powerful had cut through them. And she had this as well over a garden. And beautiful, beautiful little berries that were beautifully peeled. Now, I know there are animals that can do this, but I noticed how beautifully each petal was pulled back, and I don't know, it just didn't seem right. So I saw those on the garden, on the floor of a property as well.
Well, what I'm getting at is something 7 feet tall would leave a footprint fairly,
you know,
fairly deep.
These tall guys, she said they were about 7 feet tall. Footprints, you mean, stuff like that? As far as I know, they don't leave anything physical like that, no.
Yeah. Well, what I'm getting at is you have seen the holes and that sort of thing. You're not seeing footprints left by these big creatures. So right away my mind went, you're dealing with two different things. Something leaves physicality and something doesn't. So to me that really gets odd.
Yeah, I totally agree, because I was expecting, when she said about these creatures, or whatever you like to call them, these entities, I was expecting them, as if they were that big, they were going to be leaving something behind, but according to the lady, they don't seem to.
Yeah, but see, it depends upon the consistency of the soil as to whether you would leave a footprint or not. If there is grass on this soil, then even though you may leave a footprint, the grass may rebound by morning to the point where it's not visible. If the soil is hard and dry, you may leave no footprint at all. Jerry Wills is the associate host of this show. And Jerry is almost 7 feet tall. And I don't know what he weighs, but it's considerably more than me. The two of us could walk across a yard that is very dry and leave no footprints, either one of us. So it would depend on the conditions of the soil.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Kevin. That's all I was wondering about. So.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call. And you do bring up something that's very worth considering, and that is, perhaps these beings are not physical in the sense that we are. Physical enough to see, but maybe not as dense in terms of the density of their matter. I don't know. That's a possibility. 623-444-5889. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you? Were you calling? Okay. Don't know what's happening there with the phones. Let me describe it for you, folks. When you call, you don't hear it ring. And the reason is the ringer is turned off and we have a light that flashes. And a couple of these calls, the light did not flash, except over on the telephone itself, it lit up and showed me a number of a call coming in. I pushed the button, and there's nobody there. So I don't know. Got ghosts in the phone tonight. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, hi, Kevin. It's Heidi from Manitoba calling.
Hello, Heidi.
Hi there.
Hi, Heidi.
Yes. Hi there, Lenny. Richard, I'm sorry. Actually, Kevin, I think I might, before I get into my question here, I did try calling through earlier, but what happens is your voice message comes in saying that, the lines are busy, and so then I hung up, and then you got the beep. So that's what's happening.
I don't know. I'll look into it. I don't know what I can do about it. But we have a light that flashes that's not on the telephone. It's on the telephone line. And it flashes when a call's coming in. Well, a couple of times tonight, it didn't flash at all, but the phone has a light on it on a panel that lights up and shows me the number of the incoming call. And it did that. Even though the ringer light didn't flash, the phone lit up, and there was a telephone number there. I push the button, and then I get a dial tone. I don't know. It's demon possessed.
I guess so. Anyways, I had a couple of questions here, and I was wondering, this lady, does she have any explanation as to why she suddenly started seeing the craft and the aliens? And that's my first one, is any explanation? And what changes has it produced in her since that started happening? I'll take my answers off the line there. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for the call. So,
thanks, Heidi.
Does she have any explanation? Does she offer an explanation as to what's causing her to be able to see this?
No, she doesn't understand it at all. She doesn't know why she's seeing this. These are questions that she wants answered. And I can tell you that when I was there that night, she was physically shaky, scared. She goes and apparently, and she does hide sometimes in her bedroom. If there's a lot of activity going on outside, you can see she is physically fearful because she doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know whether her life's in danger or not, or what their agenda is. Why her? Why her property? So I think that was one of the reasons why she wanted me to go down, see if I could answer some of these questions for her. I did put her at ease by saying to her that I don't think they're dangerous, because if they were going to do anything, I'm sure they would have done it by now. They're just carrying on doing what they do, and I think they're using your property because it's big, and they're left alone the majority of the time to get on with it, and they don't have any worries of people from outside coming in. And she was a bit happier with that, but I don't think she knows.
Why. Okay, and what sort of changes have happened to her as a result of this?
Changes. I don't honestly think, really, apart from the fact that she sees these things, that anything else has really changed, although she she was getting this hassle from this chap, but that's stopped now. I don't think there's any changes really that's affected her, apart from the fact that she can see these things, and you know, apart from that, she's fine. I mean, she'll go shopping and she'll see stuff above the supermarket. She told me a little story that the chap that drove her into the supermarket, and she told him, "Don't get out, Louis, don't get out of the car. Stay there above us at the moment." And she wanted them to go away, and she waited and waited, and then after about 10 minutes they went off, and then she got out of the car and did her shopping. So, you know, but apart from that, she says, you know, there's no changes in her physically. I believe mentally she obviously is changed, because it's worrying her, and she's been to the doctor several times about why she's seeing these things, but apart from that, you know, nothing really has changed.
Okay. We have to step away for a break. Caller, are you willing to hang on while we take this break?
Yeah.
All right, I'll put you on hold, and we'll get to you right after the break. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach, and ladies and gentlemen, you know what that means. We only have a few minutes left in tonight's show. We are talking this evening with Richard Linney, a UFO experiencer and investigator in the UK, who, by the way, is up very, very early in the morning over there to be with us here on this show. We have a caller on hold, so caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Mark in the Mojave.
Okay, Mark, you're calling from where?
Mojave.
Okay.
And hi, Kevin. Hi, Richard. You know,
hi.
What is interested me about your topic was the ability to see some of these things. Yeah. And, you know, I'm colorblind. I have blue eyes and blonde hair. And I read that people like me, you know, some people like me, can see these things because we can see in the infrared and ultraviolet. And I can. And I've seen about 150 of these vehicles flying in the sky by the military base where I live. And it's amazing that nobody else can see them. And I've even filmed them. And you have to excuse me. You know, it's very difficult for me to talk because of my stroke. I talked to you before, Kevin.
Yeah, it's okay.
And
that's fine.
These things are amazing. And I believe that most of them are military, but a few of them aren't. And you're breaking up. Are you getting my voice?
Yes.
I can hear you.
We're hearing you perfectly. Okay, let's let, because we're limited on time, let's let Richard respond. So here's a guy who says he can see them, and he says he has blue eyes, blonde hair. What about this lady? What color are her eyes?
Yeah, they're, she's got blonde hair and she's got blue eyes, piercing blue eyes.
That's interesting.
Betty Davis eyes, I call them, but they are blue. And she has blonde hair, yes. And she says she sees them, and she has done, obviously, since those dates. I said the 6th of November 2012. Sorry, I beg your pardon, 2010. And, it is bizarre. But we can't see them, but we can through certain devices.
Yeah,
I'm glad you can see them, Mark. That's amazing. The only thing is, it must be distracting.
the amazing part is that these vehicles are very surprised that I can see them and react immediately when I respond to them.
So they know you're watching them.
Oh yeah, if I try to flashlight at them, they freak out. It's like they are convinced that they're invisible and that can't be seen by most people.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why Nina, the lady's called Nina, by the way, that's why she didn't want me to fire the laser pen at them, I suspect.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, thanks for the call, man. Very interesting. And send me some of the...
Thanks, Mark. That was brilliant.
Yeah, if you filmed them, send me some of the videos of them. All right, we have time for one more call at 623-444-5889. If you have a question or comment, this is a very, very unusual UFO sighting and event. Unusual for a lot of reasons, and one reason is nobody can see it except this lady can see it and the camera can see it. And those who are watching our TV channel, you have seen it tonight. If you're not watching our TV channel, then you need to become a member so you may do so every night. And then you will see these things. This is a very, very unusual UFO incident for us, but perhaps it's not unusual. Perhaps this sort of thing is going on all around us every night, every day, and we just don't see it. What do you think, Richard?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it is. I think this is just we've just basically hit the surface on this. I think it goes down a lot deeper. I do believe that you know, she said wherever she looks, she can see stuff going on. Doesn't have to be where she lives. So I think, yeah, I think there's a lot of this stuff going on all around.
A long time ago, there was a guy by the name, he's still alive, but everybody remembers Trevor James Constable. And he was filming in infrared all kinds of things flying through the sky, but, you know, they look like living things, like, you know, gigantic amoebas, you know, things like that. But he was getting them with infrared, and there are people that even, you know, they look at the film, and he was doing it with cameras that used film and using infrared film. They would look at it and still try to come up with, you know, it didn't happen. All right, now you're standing out there with her. You're the one with the camera to start with, then she takes the camera and she's filming. And you're standing there experiencing the fact that you can't see this, but in infrared the camera is getting it. And it's right where she said she could see it happening.
That's right. I'm seeing absolutely nothing.
did your mind try to figure out some way to explain the fact that, no, this is not happening?
Yes, and it was quite apprehensive. I mean, it was scary a little bit because I was thinking, well, all this stuff's going on in front of me, and I'm not seeing anything at all, you know.
So now you're back home, and I think you said you live about 30 minutes away. Is that right?
I live about 50 minutes away, about an hour drive away from here, yeah.
Okay, so you're an hour away. Has a thought gone through your head that this stuff may be going on in your yard? And you just
absolutely
don't know it?
Yeah, absolutely. My thought now is that they're everywhere. You know, at my work, wherever I go, I'm thinking, blimey, they could be over there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So where do you go from here? What's next for you?
Okay, what's next is I'm going to be going down again, hopefully, next month. So I'll be taking some more equipment down with me, and hopefully this time I will video an ET. That's
now,
the plan.
Okay, so if you video an ET walking around out there, how do you think that's going to affect you?
I don't know. I don't know. It's certainly going to affect me. But I've seen a lot of strange stuff, Kevin. I've seen a lot of strange stuff, and it's just going to be another one added on, isn't it, to the list?
Yeah, it's going to be. Here's another thought. There are a great many people on this planet that are very tall, almost 7 feet tall. There are a few who are 7 feet tall, but there are a great many people almost 7 feet tall. What if?
Yeah.
What if among them there's a large percentage who are not from here? How would that affect you?
That's true. Charles Hall wrote a book, didn't he, about the tall whites?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's what she's seeing.
Hmm.
It could be.
It could be. Okay, Richard Linney, I want to thank you for being with us this evening. And it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. But if you will, stay on the telephone with me for a moment as I bring this show in for a landing, because we've run out of time.